Hey guys, what's up? It's your girl Kia
and Mika,
and you are listening to
another episode
of the Ghetto Podcast.
All right.
So,
on this week's episode.
Oh, wow. Okay, guys, we have something. We got like a little treat for you. We're going to be doing a self-care series. So the next three episodes you hear in this series will be geared towards development of the mind, body, and soul.
Ooh, y'all heard that?
Ooh.
Your mind, body, and soul.
Y'all. Okay. So do you want to talk about... Oh, yeah, let's go ahead and give them the definition of self-care.
Okay, so we kind of wanted to do a series on self-care because we kind of get on here and we talk about a lot of things, you know, but we wanted to make sure that we at least touched on these topics because even though we've talked about self-care before, mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's just like mundane. It's just like, okay, you say it, whatever.
Right.
And then, okay, here you go.
It more so comes up in that conversation versus it being about that.
Yeah. So on this episode, we wanted to talk about specifically the mind. How do we give self-care or dedicate self-care towards the mind? So self-care by definition is any kind of activity that you do deliberately. So you're purposefully doing this in order to take care of your mental, emotional, and your physical health. So overall health. And although it's simple to do, it's easier said than done, right? So by definition, that is what it says. It's how we deliberately take care of our mental health, our emotional health, and our physical health. I know we were talking about how do we tend to identify self-care. So I'm gonna ask my co-host, how does she identify self-care for herself? Like, what does it look like for you?
Itself, like what I do for self-care. Okay, no, I'm gonna do this. For me, self-care means, I'm gonna start with that.
Yeah.
For me, self-care means that I'm doing something and it's literally, I kind of wanna read my tweet. So let me go to my tweet. There was something I tweeted the other day,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like that itself defines what self-care means to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to my profile, y'all. Take it too long, but hold on. I said, literally took a mini hiatus to mentally focus and realign with my goals. So to me, self-care is being able, for the mind, is mm-hmm. taking a hiatus from everything that I have going on,
mm-hmm.
even maybe podcasting, hanging out with friends,
mm-hmm.
just the things that kind of distract me from what I have going on to mm-hmm. realign
okay.
with what I need to. So for me, that's what self-care looks like. It looks like me taking a step back, taking a breather, just kind of like, almost doing mindful minutes, however, but mindful minutes in the sense that I'm doing absolutely nothing but what I want to do.
Okay.
I'm not forcing myself to do any type of work.
Right. Okay. You said doing something that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I, being in the mental health field, you hear almost every time, okay, you should always practice self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talked about what self-care was.
Mm-hmm.
What it is not is doing something that you don't enjoy. Like,
right.
If I don't like to read, I'm sorry, I'm not going to read. That is not self-care for me.
Mm-hmm.
I like to read, but it has to be something that I want to do. So your self-care has to be something that is enjoyable to you.
Mm-hmm.
We usually talk about, like, getting our nails done or our hair done.
But I don't think I enjoy that. I think that's more of something that I need to do. Cosmetic.
Yeah.
Shit. Like.
But because you're talking about self-care and effective self-care,
mm-hmm.
especially for the mind,
mm-hmm.
you have to take into accountability that it's something that you want to do.
Right.
It's creating that time to be mentally well within yourself.
Right. And I was reading on to what you screenshot and sent me,
mm-hmm.
and I liked the way she put at the bottom of the quote, something that refuses us rather than takes from us.
Mm-hmm.
So self-care should be something that gives you that energy to press forward.
Yeah.
Right?
So that reset button.
That reset button.
You said it. You needed to kind of figure out, okay, whoop, I got to do it. Now I'm back in the game.
And I feel like sometimes people feel like self-care has to involve doing maintenance on what you have going on in your life. Say, for example, I need to do some self-care, so I need to do some realigning for the podcast and kind of, like, come up with content. Like, I feel like what we need to do as far as self-care is just forget all of our work. Like, this time is for you to mentally woosah, you know, kind of, like, breathe, like, exhale. Because I feel like sometimes we're running all day and our minds are just, like, holding its breath. Holding its breath because you got all these things going on. And self-care is that time to go, and your brain actually relax. Have you ever felt your brain relax? Like,
I felt my brain relax, and it's a scary feeling. When I went to this past, we didn't even talk about what we did over the weekend, but I wanted to share, this past Wednesday, we didn't have school. So we did, like, a yoga trip for my, my teammates and I. And I was explaining to you that it's so much more than just the movement. It was literally just breathing. And she was like, the instructor was like, okay, just, I need you to relax and just listen to your breathing. And I promise you, I was like, what the fuck? It was so silent. It was so it was nothing. I wasn't thinking about how long the drive is. I got to get back home or what I'm going to cook for dinner. It was just dead time. I was like, oh, shoot. I do not like this. Because it's so abnormal.
Right. You're not used to that feeling of peace. Mental peace.
It's crazy.
And it's crazy because think about how many things you think about throughout the day. You probably lost all your fingers just now trying to count each thought you had in your head. Because you probably thought a mile a minute all day.
Yeah.
About absolutely everything and fucking nothing. We get to the point where we worry about the stupid shit. Like, seriously. It's crazy. We get to that point.
That's
think about, okay, today we went and went to Ten Fish. Think about how stressed out we were feeling about not getting our food and the food being cold and then having to take it back. We were really on 100 at that point. We don't realize how many thoughts we got. Oh, the service. Oh, we're going to go ahead and make a review on, like, all these thoughts.
Yeah.
Negative thoughts at that. Not even positive experiences that we kind of, like, we're going through. And it's like, exhale all that shit.
Yeah. That's ideally what self-care should be. And especially in this series, we wanted to talk about self-care for the mind. Because when you think of self-care, and I'm talking about going to get my nails done, my nails ain't doing nothing to my mind right now.
Right. And now I got to worry about my body. Now, look, your nails going to stress you out because you're going to sit there and watch the lady and how she's shaping your nails and how much she's cutting off. So now you're stressed because she needs the color. She got paint on the side of your cuticles. Stressed out.
So we're going to talk about stress.
So, no, we're not going to utilize.
I'm sorry, y'all. But that'd be me. I'd be like, look at my nails.
That's her every time. And I'm like, why are you stressing yourself out? Literally have to say that. Do your own nails because you're not going to do it how you. There people are not going to do it how you want it done.
Absolutely.
Girl. But yes. Okay, so. We almost got.
I just got mad, y'all.
Okay. We just had to. But yeah, that's how I view self-care, essentially, like, that's my view on it. It's a moment for me to take a hiatus from the things I have going on and to realign.
Okay.
And refocus.
Okay. So we wanted to get into, you brought up this topic of stress. And we were talking about how different areas of our life can contribute to the mind not being mentally well.
Right.
So the stressors of daily things, how does it affect the mind?
Right. So what we wanted to do is break it down in three main aspects of life that we feel like people most stress about. So what we decided was workplace, relationships, all types of them, and financial and / goals. So I guess we could go ahead and start with workplace, right?
Yeah.
I feel like some of the things, if I can remember, that I feel that we most stress about at work is the job that we're doing, the job we want to do, where we want to be career-wise, and where we are not, in a sense. Like, we kind of just maybe feel a negative feeling when it comes to work, especially Monday blues. Everybody's like, oh, I hate Mondays. You want to wake up. We're not all waking up and loving our job, right?
And that's I'm glad you said that. I was always taught that, you know, well, my mom, this was my mom's idea of working. It was if you are invested in something, if you love what it is that you do, it'll make you money. So you're not looking for a job that makes you money. But of course, yes, I need something to sustain me. But if I get up every day and I love what I do, I don't have a problem going to work. Amen. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Versus I'm doing something because I need to make ends meet. So I have to go to this, oh, these people 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. And oh, crap, I got to deal with my crazy behind boss because they want this by this deadline. Mm-hmm. And oh my goodness, I forgot I had to put this over in this side because come by the end of the week, we have to put this proposal together because we need to present it. So my Monday blues, mm-hmm. so to speak, is not, you know, diminished because I like going into work. Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking about all the crap that I ain't even finished from last week or mm-hmm. the things that, you know, I need to get done so that I can have an effective work week. So yes, the work environment can create so much stress on the mind and then we don't even realize it because then we're here Monday, Monday's over and you can't even wait for Friday.
Right.
So the whole week, you're so focused on stressing your mind that your mind doesn't even have time to unwind because by the time you leave on Monday evening to go home, what you think about? Tuesday going morning.
The next day.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to do, like when we talk about these topics, is kind of like give you something to do to de-stress. Mm-hmm. And I think just from what you said, how you said when you go home now, what you're thinking about, mm-hmm. waking up and going to work on Tuesday.
Yeah.
We need a nighttime routine that's going to help us woosah mm-hmm. the work day mm-hmm. and prepare to wake up tomorrow and go to work again. Not
absolutely.
Yeah. Not stress about it, not okay, this is what I have on my list, oh my god, I didn't get this done yesterday, my boss is gonna da da da. We don't want to do that. We want to have a nighttime routine that's gonna de-stress, relax us. Work is work. I feel like especially in social services, mm-hmm. work does come, like I never understood what you meant. I'm like, nigga, just forget it. Now I understand what you mean when work comes home with you. Yeah. It literally does. Like we've had almost had an hour conversation about
work. And I'm always cussing you out about, I don't want to talk about this right now. I don't want to talk about this right now.
Girl, I get it, but I had to. And it's like, I took work home with me. Mm-hmm. And it's Saturday. Mm-hmm. I should have left this on Friday, right?
Yeah.
Just left the thought there. But, so, it's not that it's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like, we're not going to give you a routine, but I feel like starting a nighttime routine where maybe you unplug at a certain time. Maybe you make sure you showered and you ate at mm-hmm. a certain time. Just doing things like that, mm-hmm. putting more care and time into yourself. At night before and preparing yourself for tomorrow.
Absolutely.
I think you'll wake up more refreshed mm-hmm. because you did those things for you.
Yeah.
Right?
I wanted to add something that you mentioned about taking home the work. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first graduated from, I graduated from my master's program and everybody kept on talking about this burnout. Like, don't get too stressed. Don't take work home. And I'm like, how do you not take work home? It's so much paperwork. And mm-hmm. like the work that I do, it's trauma related. So of course I'm taking these things home. I literally had to force myself to sit in my car and I still do it till this day. I sit in my car for 10 minutes before I pull off. Mm-hmm. And I calm myself down, like, okay, listen, you about to leave these people building. Mm-hmm. You're not taking these kids home with you. Mm-hmm. You leave it here. You mm-hmm. pick it up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I literally had to do that. And I found it to be so beneficial towards me that I left it home. My computer does not leave my office. I apologize if you ain't
in my car.
Well, it's in my car right now, but it doesn't come in my house mm-hmm. anymore. It does not enter my room because if I know it's there, the workaholic in me is going to be like, oh, I can get away with this. Let me do this. No, because then I'm working for this man for how long?
Right.
And then I'm going to be fed up because guess what? I'm still not going to be able to take care of me.
Amen.
And I can't keep pouring from an empty cup into y'all pockets. That's how I feel.
I like how you just brought up taking the time, the 10 minutes in your car to just cool down mm-hmm. before getting out. And I was talking to you earlier about how when I first started working that I found myself like in the car with the radio off and just mm-hmm. a mile on a minute just driving to work, like thinking about everything work related. When you are not at work yet, take that time for yourself. If there's a 30-minute drive to work, turn on your favorite radio station, put on your favorite podcast, play your favorite album, and relax. Mm-hmm. Worry about work when you hit that door. Because I found myself going from point A to point B, 30 minutes, mile a minute, answering calls. Mm. Don't answer any calls and work-related in your car.
You ain't paying me.
Okay? You're not supposed to be texting and driving.
Anyway.
None of that.
It's against the law, y'all.
You were driving, and they can't tell you you should have answered. You were driving. You had to wait till you stopped to answer the phone.
Yeah.
And you know what? Put the phone in the bag. Put it in your bag or put it in the back seat, because even looking at the number that come across the screen,
yep,
you know what the call is about. Mm-hmm. Now your head is just instantly
somewhere else.
What?
Yeah.
Take that time. And I thought I would do that. I would literally put it in my bag. Oh, who calling me? I have no clue. Period. Absolutely. And I had to honestly separate my work phone and my personal phone. So mm-hmm. I have another cell phone. I had to. You seen how I seen the text today? I forgot to delete the app off of that one and leave it on the other one. So that one has, my other phone has service, but I literally told a client, I said, let me give you my personal, because she needed to call me because that other phone ain't coming in my room. It's staying right there in the bottom of the purse.
Good for you.
Good for me.
Good. Look at that. That's a good self-care tip for
right
your
there.
Mind.
Now your separate mind work. Resting. Separate your work. Don't let your personal phone be your work phone. If you have that opportunity, if you have an app, the app can go on Do Not Disturb. Put it on Do Not Disturb so none of that stuff comes through. Because
if they calling me,
if you have your personal phone on you 24/7, mm-hmm. You're bound to look at that text message. Like today when we were eating, mm-hmm. the text that I got really fucking frustrated me, and I'm like, the fuck you text? Sorry to text you this today, bitch. They should have never texted to me.
Thank you. Sorry. Sidebar. I hate when people preface something with a caveat, this shouldn't make you feel X, Y, and Z, but then don't say it because you already know it's going to make me, but that's,
That's sidebar, yes. But I get what you're saying. So, any other workplace stress that we need to address? Well, we talked about not wanting to go to work.
Yeah. Not wanting to go to work.
And we talked about what to do in between to prepare yourself, the nighttime routine, maybe getting in the car and driving with your favorite podcast or music on. What about when you're at work and it's not what you want to do? You're not where you want to be as far as work.
Can I be honest?
Yes.
I work two jobs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I love both of them. I really do. I love being a therapist. Mm-hmm. I like that interaction and knowing that I can make a difference, at least in one person's life.
Mm-hmm.
But I had my supervisor, my clinical supervisor from my old job, say to me that in the midst of you, because you're going to have some downtime somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's somewhere there. I always have sticky notes
mm-hmm.
on my desk. They're just everywhere. I can sticky note you if I'm passing you in the hallway, going to the bathroom, because I always have them on me. I'm always jotting something down. But if an idea comes to mind about what it is that I want to do personally,
mm-hmm.
write it down. Because in the midst of doing quote-unquote work, your 9-to-5 or whatever it is,
Amen.
However your shift is, you're not focusing on you. So that idea comes and then, oop, just that quick, it goes away. If I don't write it down, I ain't going back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had moments where I've sat on my computer, and if y'all listening, I'm sorry, it was my lunchtime. And I've done research for things that would be beneficial towards me, where I
it's
wanted
so
to advance.
It's crazy you're saying that when I'm writing down to say next, it's literally the same thing.
benefiting me, where I want to advance in my career. So how do I go about finding out opportunities to... Go ahead.
Pause. I literally wrote, doing your job is helping you build your future. While you were saying that, that's what I was writing. Because I wanted to talk about how I like my 9-to-5. I don't care for my whatever that I'm doing for my brother. My other extra job. Hi. But I like my 9-to-5. I like what I'm doing because it's what I want to, not where I want to do essentially, but it's, it's a stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really using it to build myself up to where I want to be. I'm learning everything from the ground level.
Yeah.
So, not that this is my, I just said, what if it's not where you want to be? This is not what I want to essentially do for the rest of my life. However,
mm-hmm.
this is a step in the door, and it's helping me get that knowledge that I need to be a better me when it's time for me to be exactly where I want to be.
Absolutely.
I will have more of understanding from things from that micro level,
mm-hmm.
right?
So using it as a learning experience. Yes, mm-hmm. it might not be where you want to be, but okay, what can I do differently even though I'm right here at this moment?
And we just literally sat here and talked about things that will not happen.
We have pre-discussions before.
Right.
But yeah, that's what I think is kind of like, even if it's just for a split second, mm-hmm. and if y'all see my laptop, mind you, I have a laptop and I have a desktop. There's sticky notes on everything.
Right.
Because I need that reminder. Okay, this is permanent. Mm-hmm. This isn't permanent. Mm-hmm. It's just temporary. But in order for me to get to where I want to be, right. I need to remember what it was that came in my head at that moment.
So I think the self-care tip for me would be think of it as a learning experience. Think of it as mm-hmm. extended education.
Ooh.
So you came, but now you're getting paid.
Ooh.
To do it. So think of that money as that grant towards your future.
Yeah.
That you're going to use. Because obviously you're going to have to fund what you want to really do, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Think of it as that. Think of it as that stepping stone that it is. Like, stop thinking, like, you know, because I feel like sometimes we're like, oh, my job. We think about it as my job.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it, this is what's taking me towards my future.
Yeah.
My future. Okay. Every day when you leave work, if you feel like this is not where you want to be, write down the things you don't like. So when you're where you want to be, this is what you would not have happening in your company or in your next position that you take.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that when you go to your job, when you go to this interview and they say, do you have any concerns? Well, yes. I would not want to be in the environment that has X, Y, Z,
Let
and
me
whatever.
Tell you. You listening? You got pen and paper? Because I right. got a list.
Right. And that way that you kind of sell yourself more, because these people know what you're not going to accept, you know, as far as what type of environment or what type of worker they're going to hire.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, imagine you going in and be like, no, I'm fine with anything.
Mm-hmm. And when you already know those type of things, right, that yeah. you don't want, when you're mm-hmm. interviewing somebody and introducing them to your company, per se, now,
yeah,
they know what person they're working with, because uh-huh. you have a list of things that you've built upon. For how many years you were in your field that you could say, hey, here, this is what's not going to happen. So don't ever worry about this happening to you. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So now you kind of build that level of trust on, you're able to build higher if you take this experience as a learning experience.
On that note.
Okay. So I think we kind of like talked about
the workplace.
Every aspect. We talked about taking the work home. We talked mm-hmm. about if we're not where we want to be. Is there another level we need to talk about it on? I think that's
yeah we're good on
pretty that. Much with yeah we yeah. kind of deal with not wanting to be there and
yeah
taking the work home with us. So let's go ahead and go into relationships.
Oh, this is my favorite topic, y'all. No,
oh, I think we like to talk about relationships. we talk about relationships a lot, and yes, I feel like because we're social, that's what people do. We're here to interact and connect with each other, right?
Mm-hmm. But so, we're not just talking about the intimate relationships right. that we have. We're talking about the relationships that we have with friends. We're talking about relationships with our family.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we're talking about those intimate relationships with your partner.
And even those relationships that you don't have and the ones that you crave.
Right. So for those of you non-involved people, I don't know what you call them. Single folks, the single people.
Not even single. People who don't have family or friends.
Or that, right. Mm-hmm. So you don't have, right, you don't have those connections.
You don't have those,
with
yeah.
Those, yeah, connections is the word. Y'all don't know why I'm, listen y'all, okay.
But I feel like we wanted to talk about that. Okay, let's start with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Friendships or keeping friendships may stress us out. Amen. No, but it's hard to have a good friend. That's why they say good friends are hard to find, and I think I'm thankful and grateful for my best friend.
Oh.
Because I feel like they are hard to find. I mean, we may not align on every aspect or love. Like, you know, we have our different views, but
right.
I feel like we're so connected to the point that 9 times out of 10, we do kind of feel the same way about things.
Yeah.
And it's like, good friends are hard to find.
Yeah.
So for people who find it hard to keep friends, I feel like sometimes we have to take a step back and think about ourselves. What
Damn.
Is wrong with us?
Ooh, please
that
hold on.
We can't hold that relationship.
Say it again for the people
what
that.
Is wrong with us that we can't
yes.
hold on to that relationship?
Yes.
And this is more so for people who are serial friendshippers. Like, seriously. Like, you're friends with somebody 1 minute, and the next thing you turn around, like, oh, what happened to, oh, man. Like, there's an altercation or miscommunication. Because I think the expectation levels for people when they become friends as adults is so much higher. Mm-hmm. You're looking for that instant connection. When you're younger, you're it's more innocent. So you're not worried about what it's going to develop into. Now we're so focused on,
oh, if you don't have my views, then we can't.
Right,
you
know what I mean?
You think about, because I work in an elementary school, but I think about kids when they first come to school and they come home and tell you, oh, mommy, I found a friend, or daddy, I found a friend.
Right.
They don't know what's going to happen. Like,
right.
First grade, second grade. I just know that we like the same color. We friends. Right.
So we both like RoboCops. Boom. Like, it's
something
simple.
So benign. But when you, I think when you do become older, you're so much aware of so many other things.
When you think about, when now as an older person, you're thinking about a friendship. Is this person clingy? Are they going to text my phone with all their problems? like, is it, you think about all of those things, like, oh, can I hang out with them? Are they boring? Do they, it's different things that really affects the friendships now, because there's so much things that we're going to refuse to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
We already got enough bullshit in our lives.
Right.
We don't need added bullshit, right?
Yeah.
So.
Which, that is okay to have a prep. It is. Be quite precise about who you let into your life.
Right.
We're not saying that, you know, you shouldn't, but that is what causes the stress on the brain, because now it's like, are you the right fit?
Right. And just like you said, be precise, be honest with the people who you choose to be friends with about the type of friend that you want to be.
Absolutely.
We are adults. At this point, we should be able to speak freely. Hey, girl, you could be my turn-up partner. We're turn-up partners. We're turning up together. We're not going to the movies and just chilling on my couch. You can't just come over and tell me all your problems. We're going to turn up together. Because I feel like we do have those friends that we call for certain things. Like, you know this friend is just going to be down for whatever when it comes to this certain thing.
Down with shit. Yeah.
So it's like, you just know. And I feel like sometimes people kind of overstep boundaries when it comes to friendships. And they don't realize that, hey, we just don't have that type of bond yet. Hey, we just don't have that type of connection yet.
Yeah.
And when you, let's go to the people who lack. When you lack those type of connections, I feel like it makes it harder for you to make friends, because you kind of like insert yourself too quick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're friends. Oh my God. I know people who do that and, like, you know, kind of like may rub people the wrong way and make people take a thousand steps back, because now I have to rebuild this thing with you, because, bro, you just overstepped completely. I wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, even when it's just simply a friend, not even a significant other, you have to think about overstepping boundaries. Everybody has boundaries.
Absolutely.
Everybody have boundaries.
And if you ain't got none, you need to get some.
So what would be a self-care tip to that type, to building a friendship?
I think you said it. Communicating.
Oh, communicating. Communicating, and what I said something else. Oh, being open and honest about the type of friend that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Being open and honest with yourself about the type of friend that you can potentially be. Can you be that turn-up partner? You know what I'm saying? Like, because sometimes you try to make friends with people who you just feel are so like, oh my God, they're so cool. Like,
yeah.
And you want to just fit in. But can you be that type of person that person wants to hang around?
Right.
Or are you just that chill person? So identify who you align with and stop trying to almost essentially be someone you're not and try to hang around somebody because you just want to hang around them. And that goes kind of for almost every level, from high school and up, because I feel like we kind of start building those real friendships. People always say that the friends that you meet in high school are not the ones you essentially
go,
which can't be true, but if you already know who you are at that point, you kind of do kind of keep those same friends over time.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it also starts with knowing you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're always, in my mind, how I view it is, you're always going to be learning about you. If you're that type of person, you're not going to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly learning. I don't care if you are breathing, you're going to be learning something new if you are open to learning. So you have to be open to saying, okay, well, I know she like to turn up all the time.
Not there.
I ain't over there yet. Okay.
Call me next Saturday. I might be ready.
She like to chill all the time, be at home. I don't want to do that. You have to be aware of what it is that you're willing to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
One, knowing yourself, what it is that you're not willing to accept. Like, nah, shorty, I ain't on that. and letting that be known to that person.
You know what I just thought about? Stop feeling like you have to have that one friend that fits every category. Make other friends. That's literally what you just said. Their turn up partner is not going to be your chill and just drink wine at home partner. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, you may have two different people that you need to have in your life. And don't think those two people could come together and get along. Don't always think that all of your friends could intermingle. Because, mm-hmm. They just may not be fits for each other. That's why they're your friends.
Absolutely.
They don't have to be friends with each other.
We ain't got a problem over here. And if y'all ain't got a problem with friends,
we don't have that problem over here. Like, you kind of know when to gauge, when to mesh your friends together.
Yeah.
And for what reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, when it's time to turn up, we all coming together. Period.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, like, in a sense like that. So let's go ahead and talk about the stress or the mind in relationships with your partner, your man, so your woman's.
Mm-mm.
No? Mm. Yes.
Mm. I'm just thinking about the stress.
Well, sometimes, okay, I want to say, let's talk about an aspect of someone who wants more out of a relationship. Let's break it down.
But it's
someone
the same
who
thing.
Wants more
I'm sorry.
out of a relationship, maybe they're ready to get married, or they're ready to get engaged, or they're ready to do things that this other person isn't on. So now you're stressed out and you're overthinking what that other person may be thinking. This is where you simply have to stop thinking what the hell somebody else is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Ask questions. The key word is communication. Communicate with that girl, you made a face. What? Communicate with that
Nothing
person.
Communicate.
Communicate with that person and, identify that. Find out why they're not there. Mm-hmm. Stop stressing and overthinking and talking with your homegirls or your homeboys about what's not going on and talk to them about it. Because I feel like the first step to a breakdown in a relationship is not communicating.
Absolutely. In any relationship.
In any relationship, for real. It's not communicating.
Because I can't read your mind.
Right.
I ain't no mind reader.
Right. You never, you may not know what this person is planning.
And yes, you know what? That's so crazy because I always have this conversation and where I'm working on it. When you tend to, I know what you're saying or I know what you're thinking before a person do it based off of their past action.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to allow the person to make those mistakes, realize that, okay, maybe I shouldn't have done this or I shouldn't be thinking this way, and allow them that room for them to make that adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it is that, I'm going to communicate why I feel this way about a particular, whether we're talking about marriage. Okay, at this point in life, these are the things that I want before we get to marriage. But you're steady stressing about, you said when this is a point you are. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen? When are you going to get out of this point? Can you wait a second? Let me process that for myself, and then we can come back and reconvene and have a conversation about it. But you stressing the idea of, they already said X, Y, and Z, and you never revisited it, you're not giving that person that space to even, in their mind, say, okay, all right, well, maybe when I reach this or I've accomplished this, they have no time to say, okay, we can come back and maybe, I said earlier that this is what I felt, but maybe now. But no, you already said X, Y, and Z before.
Right.
So allowing that person, that other person, don't be so quick to say that you know or to make assumptions about someone else's thoughts based on previous actions. It's hard. Trust me, because I've been guilty of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think to myself, and I'm like, let me put myself in that person's shoes. Like, do I like? No, I don't really like that. So, hey, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So if that person is giving you that chance to say, okay, here's your platform to rethink and reconsider, let me see if I could do the same for you.
Right. So in a nutshell, what you said, don't be quick to assume. Be quick to communicate. Stop assuming and take the time to have a conversation.
Effective communication, guys.
Amen. And what I also wanted to get on is the stress of trying to find someone that you want to be with in a significant, in a relationship with. That's a whole nother type of stress. Okay, you may have it be in a relationship where the stress is to have more with someone, but what about the people who are stressed out about not having that someone yet?
Mm. Whose clock you on?
Huh? Who's exactly. Whose clock? I'm like, what, bitch? We on the clock?
No.
But seriously, whose clock are you on? Yeah. And what essentially is holding you back from finding that one? If you're out there really, are you really searching? That may be the issue too. Sometimes
you don't be looking for nobody. You don't look for trouble. So
sometimes you may not be really searching for someone. You're waiting for someone to come to you. So are you out there mingling? Are you trying to build those connections? Are you networking? Are you putting yourself out there in that way? Are you literally expecting someone to walk in, knock on you, and be like, "Hey, we together"? Because sometimes people do that. Mm-mm. I feel like we need to stop. Sometimes we need to like stop and realize, okay, hey, you know what? It will come when it comes.
Yeah.
Appreciate your singleness now. Enjoy it. Stick a spoon and stir that bitch around and make it blend. Like, enjoy it. Seriously. Enjoy what you have. Enjoy your life right now. Yeah. So that when you get with someone, it will be that experience that you crave. Like, mm-hmm. You wouldn't have to worry about, oh, you didn't experience this, you didn't experience that. Because so many times we rush into things, saying that we have a timeline where we need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we fail to, like, enjoy the people that we meet or the connections that we make that make us appreciate the one we finally get with.
Absolutely. I agree.
And all of that comes with communication, like I just said, networking, connecting. Are you out there communicating with others that, hey, you're open and you're ready for this type of relationship? Mm-hmm. Is the person that you're dating understanding that you want more, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we may settle ourselves out for somebody who's not even on the level of who wants the level of relationship that we want because we think that we can get them there.
Mm-hmm.
But be frank with the people that you're dating.
I ain't forcing nobody to do anything that I want them to do.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to be responsible for that. I've always said this. I never wanted, in any relationship, and anybody that's dated me past, present, knows that I'm the type of person, I'm like, please make sure whatever changes you are making, that you're making them for you. Because you know what? I don't want it to be that we end up separating and you resent me for something that you did. You understand what I'm saying? Like, make that decision, make that change, or make it be known that this is what you want because you want it for yourself.
Amen.
I appreciate that you're considering me, but I'm good about that.
So outside of communication, when it comes to dealing with the stress on the mind in relationships, I feel like I said before, if you communication is hard for you, counseling or therapy. You can seek those services too. There's people out there who have the skill set who are able to help you identify the problem or help you deal with what's going on in your life or help you get past the step until you reach wherever you need to reach. There's people who know, you know, how to guide you and what to tell you to help you cope in the situation.
And you know, if you are not there, I think we were talking about this earlier. If you're not there where you're not comfortable going and seeking outside services, there are plenty of self-help books or like resources for you. Things
even
you can
on
do
YouTube
for yourself.
There's podcasts, there's YouTube, there's people who've even been through the same situation as you who sought out help and maybe made a vlog about it. Like, there's people out there who you can connect to who aren't in the field of, you know, therapy, who can kind of give you a little bit more insight on how they experienced it and what they did to deal with it. So even maybe, you know, feeling free to talk to someone who you feel comfortable with, even so, like, you know, maybe someone you know who kind of like been through the same situation you've been through. Just open up to somebody. Not anybody, but somebody.
Not anybody.
Don't tell everybody business. Might be on Front Street next day, but somebody. It's just communicating on another level, taking the communication to another level. Okay. So the next thing we have is, and the last thing on this list about self-care of the mind is feeling the stress of financial burdens or not meeting a goal. And then, like you said before, I feel it now tying back into the workplace because typically 9 times out of 10, your financial goal is a goal that you're trying to achieve in the workplace. But it could just be feeling financially free or erasing that burden. And I kind of think we should talk about from the tips that we had versus talking about it in the form of what it is.
Okay.
So the one thing that we did write down, what I wrote down, was budgeting. Yeah. Budgeting as a tip.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be seeking to increase your wealth. Mm-hmm. However, you don't know how to manage that shit. And you're just spending the $100,000 you're making a year.
In other words,
have nothing in your savings account.
You are living
above your means.
Above that shit.
So sometimes it does take you maybe seeking financial support through a accountant or...
Mm-hmm.
There is YouTube videos on everything, everybody. Go on YouTube, budgeting. Literally, just type in budgeting.
Or you can find me.
Or you can find Shanika Calvert at www. She ain't got a website yet, but she's going to get one.
No.
And she's a budget. She taught me how to budget. I literally did not watch any of those videos you sent me. Everything you told me is what I used to write a budget. She taught me how to write down every expense in the book, eliminate an expense. Mm-hmm. That I ain't even bothered, I'm not even using. Write down how much I make, minus all of my bills, including the little things that I get done, like my nails, that I didn't realize I never even included in, like,
an expense.
Mm-hmm. It was just something I was spending money on, and you kind of realize how much you're spending on the stupid shit. So now I get my nails done like once a month, and they lasted. But it's like things like that I cut back down on, because I'm like, dang, like, that's too much money. Go, you know, outsourcing that money needs to stay in my pocket. You get what I'm saying? So, budgeting. Simply just budgeting. Right?
Mm-hmm. I budget every month, y'all.
She budgeted every month.
Sometimes midweek, my boyfriend was like, you need to relax because the budget is stressing you. Mm-hmm. But you know why it's stressing me? Because I ain't do it. That's why it was stressing me.
Oh, Lord help her. So, what about if the stress that you're feeling mentally... financially, it's coming from you not making enough money? What if you don't have a skill set that you can, a service that you can provide? The only way you can get more money is by working.
Well, one, I'd like to say that's false. Everybody has something that they can market. I don't care if it's you making bad
jokes. Shanika.
I'm dead ass serious.
But what if you don't? What if you just
If you haven't found it
What
yet,
if you have no want to be an entrepreneur? Some people do not want to provide a service.
That was me until I started working, and now I'm like, fuck this shit.
Some people don't. How do we get rid of that stress? Well, we're not making enough money. We want to make more money. We need more money. What can we do?
What can you do? Have you set up a goal? A plan? Do you have a plan of how you're going to make more money?
Right.
Is it that you can you afford to take on more hours at work? If it is that you do need to make extra cash, can you get a part-time job? Can you Uber? Can you, what is the other one that did? Lyft.
Oh, yeah.
What is Post that? DoorDash. All of these things that are accessible
Grubhub.
To you. Can you do any of, what side hustle? Okay, you don't have to have necessarily, let's say you don't have a car. Okay, I'll just go out there and say, you don't have a car. Okay, what else can you do?
Well, how are you getting a bird?
The bus.
Okay.
Well, you're Ubering.
Now you're spending money on an Uber. How are you going to Uber? But I feel like, okay, what can we do? It's such a hard question to answer. Because have you ever been in a position, I'm just going to ask you, have you ever been in a position where you needed to make more money?
Yes.
What did you do?
Find me another source of income.
Okay. But, okay.
And it's not using my talent.
Okay, so that's what I want to say. Not using your talent. So you just found yourself another part-time
job. I found my ass another job.
So I feel like sometimes people feel like they're stuck. Okay, what if this person is stuck in a 9-to-5 and there's no way for them to have a part-time? I want to consider all factors for somebody who's financially just stuck, and that's just the stress.
How do you make yourself more marketable then?
But let's take a step back from that. How can we, what self-care tip can we provide to this person to worry less about their financial, what's it called? Stunt and growth. Like,
so, see, but my brain is so conditioned to, if it is that I can't make extra income, I'm going to go back to my budgeting. I need to go back to my drawing board. Mm-hmm. Is it that my expenses are now outweighing my income? And if that is, I need to reassess what it is until I can find a way to increase my income. Right. So I need to go back to the drum. I've had to do that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I make a good amount of money enough to be financially secure. But when I look at my expenses, okay, what is it, Shanika, that you are spending too much on that mm-hmm. you can cut back on mm-hmm. so that, hey, I don't feel like I'm drowning.
Right. And I feel like sometimes, a lot of the times, we are living above our means mm-hmm. and we don't realize it. Like I just said, like I had to sit there and write down all that stuff. I'm like, oh, whoa, hello, mm-hmm. no, tone it down. You really have to think about absolutely everything that you're putting your money into.
Mm-hmm.
And go back to that drawing board and reassess everything.
And that's okay. It's not to say that and I had to teach myself this. It's not that I'm only making this amount of money and this is what I'm going to make for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. We talked about it previously when we were talking about growth in our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making this now. However, I know that it's not going to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. I need to figure out how can I make more. Mm-hmm. If it is that I don't have a talent, I need to figure out how can I make myself marketable that I can go to whatever 9-to-5 job I'm working. Hey, how do I go about getting an advancement right. In my position at work? Or what does it take for me to get a raise? Or mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like things like that. Mm-hmm. Like you have that power
right.
to go, and especially if you've been, you know yourself to be capable mm-hmm. or worthy enough of something else. You know, and I saw something the other day specifically about goals
mm-hmm.
where someone was like, you know, you shouldn't be afraid no matter what age you are to go after whatever your dreams is.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people work 9-to-5s, hustle, and end up leaving their 9-to-5, went out on a limb on faith.
Mm, faith.
And are doing way better than what they even thought
mm-hmm.
or imagined that mm-hmm. they could, because they were like, okay, well, shoot, this ain't working for me. Okay, I'm going to go over here and struggle.
Right.
It's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
But that is something that you have to assess for yourself. Well, can I
take that risk? Mm-hmm.
Am I going to be okay if I fall short? I think we talked about it on the last episode about when you go and you decide that you're going after your dreams, you're being an entrepreneur, and knowing that, shoot, I might have to move back home for a little bit. You right. know, because I need
you
to
humble yourself in that situation.
Exactly.
To understand that it's a step.
Right.
It's a step.
And I think people, sometimes we're so ready. We have this idea of instant gratification mm-hmm. that we just want it right now. Mm-hmm. Right. It don't happen like that.
And I think that's problems with people who don't understand entrepreneurship in its entirety. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people say, okay, I'm going to start this business and expect instant mm-hmm. wealth, expect instant profit. You have to invest before you see a profit.
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, unless you got money like that, like, and you still have to wait for the profit to come back in. Like, it's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to be the instant sensation that everybody wants to go and go receive service from or buy products from.
Right.
You have to build clientele. You have to build trust. You have to build that type of rapport with people for you to even, you know, get where you want to be. It's all a process. There's steps. There's levels to everything. And
it's
Right. And I feel like we kind of ignore and miss those things. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the self-care tip in this situation would be to humble yourself. Practice humbling yourself. That is something that you can practice.
Yeah.
Humble. Tone yourself down. Budget. Like, reassess. Understand that, hey, you can't buy this Mercedes-Benz and lease it for $900 a month when you're only making $1,900 a month and your rent is $15. Like, you know, people really be out here doing the most and living outside their means and be check to check. You know, it's horrible, but people do it.
Mm.
People do it. So humble yourself.
Humble.
Budget. That's if you can, seek accounting services, someone who can help you really understand your money, your finances. Sometimes we have money that we don't even know about, and we're just spending it on stupid shit. Sometimes, literally, it's this app that told me that my cable bill was too high. It said they said it could save me $90. I'm like, tell me, app, tell me.
Oh, wow.
So, seriously, I forgot what the hell the app name was. I thought I saved that money. I deleted it, but still. But it kind of tells you, like, if there's services, there's things out there that can help you understand where you're spending too much money at. If money is an issue and there's no way that you can make more money.
Absolutely.
Amen. Small investments.
Listen, y'all. Oh, I just made me a small investment on my life insurance policy.
Yes, okay. She gave me the card and I didn't call the man yet.
He came by yesterday and asked for you in my office.
Oh, wow.
He's like, oh, where's your friend? I'm like, hmm. But no, that's an investment that I had to. No, I didn't give you a number. I don't give out people numbers.
Okay.
I had to put that in there, like, okay, this is something that I need to plan for just in case I die and somebody can take care of me. Not Jesus.
Girl.
You know, when you're ready. But that's a small investment that I had to make. And that's something that I know I had to cut back somewhere else so I can make sure that that was a necessity for me. It was a priority. So prioritizing your finances.
Right.
And making sure that if I know that my basic needs are met, there's a roof over my head, there's food on my table, I am able to get to work, that's your basic need. If you have kids, your kids are clothed and fed, that's your basic needs.
Mm-hmm.
All that other stuff?
It's for the birds. You can figure it out.
That's all I'm saying.
Amen. And that brings our self-care tips for the mind. For the soul. No, I'm kidding. No, that brings the mind to a close. All
right.
I feel like we hit every aspect that we, like, immediately thought about that kind of affects our own lives. It was more of, like, a perception of what we find affects our mind first, work, relationships, and finances. I feel like those are the top three things that may affect my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like instantly put me into stress mode, like, bitch, I am about to have a panic attack. Especially work. I'm going to say work. But yeah, like, you know, and I hope you guys liked it, right?
Yes, let us know.
Let us know.
Please, please interact.
And if there's something that we feel like we missed in, like, the mind segment, go ahead, feel free to, like, write us via email at theghettopodcast@gmail.com. You can write us on Instagram at the ghetto podcast and Twitter at the same thing, the ghetto podcast. Everything's the same.
All the same. Hit us up.
Right. All right, guys, you've listened to another episode of
the Ghetto Podcast.